Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Janice P.M., living in Massachusetts, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is May 5th, 2023, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 79. We're on paragraph 3, beginning with, "We thought he ought to be willing." Okay, today's readers are the 12 steps will be Bonnie T, the 12 traditions will be Joanne L, and our text readers for today are Lorraine N, she will be first, Elaine B will read a few, and Julie EV is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Jody E, and announcements will be Robin P. Okay, our reference number for yesterday, which is the previous day, Thursday, May 4th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,226. That's 20226. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. And this is our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So here are the steps we took as a suggestion, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Okay, I will now ask Bonnie T. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Bonnie T., gratefully recovered in Chicago, Illinois. Here are the steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks so much, and everybody have a great day. My best.
And thank you, Bonnie T. Okay, I will now ask Joanne L., to please read our 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Deanne. Good morning, everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne Elf, recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Let's have a great meeting, and I pass.
And we will, and thank you, Joanne L. And this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. What we do is we read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. I will be timing you and giving you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Now, our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic, but this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. Now, in order to share, please press *1 to unmute. Now, once you've done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Well, today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 79, paragraph 3. At this time, I will ask Lorraine N. to begin reading. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, Janice, and thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lorraine M. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. And here's the paragraph. We thought he ought to be willing to do that if necessary. But if he were in jail, he could provide nothing for either family. We suggested he write his first wife, admitting his faults and asking forgiveness. He did, and also sent a small amount of money. He told her what he would try to do in the future. He said he was perfectly willing to go to jail if she insisted. Of course, she did not, and the whole situation has long since been adjusted. Well, they're referring to this man not paying alimony to his first wife. So,
well, this is what I do, or we do, I do, when we make an amend. We admit our fault, we ask forgiveness, and we make some gesture or offer of restitution. They're talking about financial amends here, and I did have to, I stole so much when I was young. I didn't even consider it stealing. I mean, if it was there and nobody was around and I wanted it, I took it. I got fired from jobs when I was a kid for stealing food, two jobs from stealing food. And, I just went on my merry way and got another job. There was one huge, I actually took money from a bank that I was working in. And if I made amends for that today, I would surely go to prison. And there's just no way I can do that. So, 72 years old, and I am not going to go back east and admit to that. And but what I have to do is never steal again. I mean, I would go into a bank or, you know, anywhere where they had a cup full of pens on the counter that you could take one. I would take three or four just because they were there. And so today I make a living amends by absolutely not taking one thing that does not belong to me, no matter what. And I was able to admit that I was a thief. I never thought of myself as a thief. And I just don't engage in those behaviors anymore. And now life is messy and chaotic, and, you know, stuff keeps happening. I don't really have financial amends to make anymore other than living amends, as I stated, and changing my behaviors, which I have years now. But I had two incidents this week where I was just short with people and abrupt. You know, I'm having some physical stuff and I don't, you know, I'm not feeling my best, and I feel badly about that. And I have to go back and make amends for that, because even things like that bother me very much when I am short with someone and it's hurtful. So, life continues, and, it's fun and wonderful, and it's sad and tragic, and I continue to make amends as I go along. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
And thank you so much, Lorraine N., for sharing. Okay, before we take some other readers, some other sharers, let me be kind enough just to tell us, to remind us, that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you have shared on Wednesday or Thursday, we'll give our other members some time. Okay, and I'll start timing you once you start sharing. So I take about three or four names who would like to share. Just give me your name and your first initial of your last name. And when you share, you can give us your state. Who would like to begin?
Bruce E. Luann C. from New Jersey. Good morning.
I didn't see, must be my ears. I didn't get the name.
Suze, S-U-Z-E. Hi. From New Jersey.
S-U-Z-E. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what's your first initial of your last name?
F.
S as in Sam?
That's it. Thank you.
Oh, good. There, my ears are clearing up. And can I have one more? Would like to share?
O-H.
Oh, good old O-H. Okay, from California? Is it California?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Bruce, we're going to start with you at this time. So we'll start timing you. Okay, Bruce. Your turn. Where are you from?
Okay, Bruce-y? It's Bruce. Yeah, I'm here. I'm Bruce E. And I'm in Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Florida. And I'm recovered compulsive overeater. I'm glad to be on the line. Thank you, everybody. Let's see. I wanted to mention a couple of them. I've been in the program a while. I've done a lot, but I still have more to do yet. Seems like screwed up as I was and doing things that I definitely had some amends to make. And I think I'll be making them the rest of my life, most likely.
Excuse me, Bruce. I'm going to just ask if we could kindly, whoever it is, could just press 1 to mute so we'll have a nice clear line for the recording. Thank you, and I'm sorry for interrupting, Bruce. Please go ahead.
Hey, that's all right. That's okay. Thank you. So I was used to be in a clothing business. I had a clothing store down here in Florida, and I got things didn't go well. Going through a divorce, the business is going under, excuse me, and I owed all this money. So I didn't know what to do. And so I sat down with my mother, my dear, precious mother. She's about 80 years old at the time, I think, or a little younger maybe. And I said, what are we going to do? And or what am I going to do? So we decided, all the people that I owed money to, we'd write them all a letter, you know, kind of like it says in this thing, in this reading here, write a letter, and put $25 in there, a check for $25, even if we owe them $1,000 or $2, put a check in there for $25, and do that with everybody. And I didn't have enough money to cover the $25 checks, so we could only send out a few at a time, but we did that. And we even got one, it worked. We even got back one letter from somebody. We owed them like $1,800, or I owed them $1,800. They sent a letter back, real nice letter, saying, hey, we appreciate $25. You still owe us like, you know, $1,775, but just send it when you can, and we appreciate, you know, you. And that was really neat. That was encouraging. But eventually, I paid off every one of those. And I didn't have to file bankruptcy, although I sure considered it. And it worked. So then, more recently, maybe a year or two ago, I was at the Tampa airport, and I parked the car there. I think it was during the I left a light on inside the car. So I went, you know, back 2, 3, 4 days later, my wife and I got off the plane and went to the car, and the battery was dead. I realized right away I left the light on. And so I called. It said there was a phone, like, on the wall there that said, call this number if you have...
Gentle reminder. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I did give you an extra minute.
Auto. I'll take whatever I can get. And if you need auto assistance... call this number. So I called the number, and some guy, he goes, hey, this is XYZ Auto Company. This is Louie. How can I help you? And I said, I need somebody to come over and help me. So he said, they'll be right over, and they didn't come. So then I called him back, Louie. He said, hey, Louie. I said, and he said, they'll be right over. I tell you, they'll be right over, and they didn't come. They didn't come. We waited. They didn't come. Called them back a few more times, same thing. They didn't come. So I see this truck going through there. It's like, I don't know, AAA or something. And I signaled down the guy, and I said, hey, I just need a jump. Can you do that for me? And he did it. And I said to my wife, give me $5. She only had 10. I gave him 10. And I just peeled out of that place as fast as I could get out of there before that truck came, right? So then I got to thinking about that. My sponsor said, you're going to have to call. You're going to have to, thank you. You're going to have to go there and do an amends. But it's 2.5 hours from my house. I told him that. He said, we'll call him. So I call him and say, hey, it's Louie. You know, can I help you? And I go, hey, Louie, I'm the guy that spun out after there. I really apologize for doing that. And he said, he says, bless you.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, Bruce.
I pass.
Okay, Bruce, thank you. We're going to try and be willing to just give a three-minute pitch. I know it's hard sometimes where we're in the middle of a story and then I interrupt you. But we're going to hear from Lou Ann C. now. Please, Lou Ann.
Hi, good morning. I'm Lou Ann C., a compulsive overeater in Boise, Idaho, and thank you to everyone for making this meeting possible this week. You know, it would take me 20 minutes to say the whole story of my amends, but as we talked about amends all week, a memory bubbled up to the surface that I had always thought was just funny, But in here, I realized, it happened when I was a teenager, hey, that was vandalism. So I talked it over with my sponsor, and I'm working on how to make the amends. But the thing is, as I was talking with her, I started to have a bad, dark feeling that I couldn't identify. And that was about 6 p.m. And I went through the night. I completed step work. I went to bed at midnight. And about 4 a.m., I woke up and I recognized that the feeling I had been experiencing was shame. Because I was realizing that if I had been caught in this vandalism, I was a senior in high school, and my parents had found out, how it would have just broken their hearts. Because I was already living a double life. The important thing is, before this process of abstinence and working the steps, I would have been binging from 6 till midnight in diabetic coma proportion, just to put myself to sleep because of the feeling. And I would have still woken up at 4 a.m., but the shame and remorse would have been centered around the binge. And I never would have touched the real reasons and causes that would just remain below in my life. But with my abstinence, I was able to sit in the feeling and not cause more damage. And, with this amends, which is going to be a financial amends, the program just got real. And I thought, wow, is this what I signed up for? But, God's got me too far now. I'm over the bridge. And, he's building in me a capacity to care about the people I love. So I have to keep going. I've just come too far. There's this saying, you don't own it unless it costs you. And it's going to cost. So thank you. I pass.
Just in time. Thank you, Luann C. Okay, we have Suze F. Suze, star one. I want to unmute you.
I'm here. Sorry.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, boy. Yeah. Making amends, making dramatic amends, making non-dramatic amends. It's all the same. It's an amazing program. It really, really is. That I can think of lots of amends that I need to make, and I'm terrified. The food was easy, comparatively speaking. And I think of that shame that was just mentioned that even hit me recently. Someone at work shamed me. And it's not his fault. He's sick. But I took it up to the point where I wanted to literally, physically destroy myself. And I'm 68 years old, This has been a long road since I was 16, and I don't want to be there anymore. So I need to be closer. I need to be closer to my higher power. Why am I so afraid to be closer to my higher power? Well, that's why there's 12 steps. It's to get me back to the place where higher power is, I'm part of higher power, and higher power is part of me. And that's really where it is. It's the spiritual program. The other night, somebody said, I'm buying tickets to something, and be careful because, and this was after I'd bought the tickets, be careful because there's something there that talks about making a contribution, and if you don't take the check mark off, they're going to charge you anyway. Now, I'm kind of a little strapped this week, which isn't the best slogan, but the idea is that I need to pay rent with my paycheck this week. So, and I took it out on him. Oh, my God, that's awful. I wish you told me before. So I owe him an amends. I don't have to wait to do a resentment list. I know that I owe this man amends. And it just pointed up where yet another program will help me. But this is, it's through OA and through A Vision for You that I learned that I can turn to my higher power with this. I don't have to be afraid anymore. I can literally turn it over every day. So with that, I thank you, and I pass. Have a great day.
And thank you for sharing. Suze, what state are you from? Did you already leave us? Okay, I guess you did. All right.
Hi, I'm from New Jersey, dear.
Okay, thank you, thank you.
You
okay,
bet.
No have problem. You. All right, we have Mo H. now from California. Hi, Mo H. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Janice PM. Good to have you on the line. You know,
thank you.
Moderator today. Yes, my name is Mo H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Walnut Creek, California. Yeah, I've been wanting to share all week, and I, you know, I just been so busy during the meeting, so I thought I'll hop on here today. This is all about, you know, these financial amends to be making, and it says here we thought he ought to be willing to do that if necessary, and that means be willing means going to any length. Am I going to go to any length for my recovery? For my abstinence. And I said that at the beginning of working the steps. Yes, I am willing to go to any length. I had the opposite of financial. Well, I guess it isn't the opposite, but I recently had a lot of work done on the interior of my home and a lot of big bills. And I noticed that he did not charge me for one section of the work he was doing. And I thought, well, he's charging me so much money for everything else. You know, I just, you know, this is just a couple of thousand. I don't have to do that. And then I talked it over with my sponsor. And I said, I know what you're going to say. I knew, but, you know, still, I had that, you know, that still diseased voice saying, you don't have to pay this. And so I don't know if I called him up or I texted him. I think I called him up and I said, you know, the flash, whatever it's called outside the door, threshold, the thresholds that you stained. I said, I don't see that on my bill. And he goes, oh, he says, I'll have my accountant look at that. And the accountant looked at it and then, oops, I get, you know, the bill. And it's like, darn. But you know what? This program is about being really honest, totally true. And, you know, that's just happened, you know, this past month. The things constantly come up where I get challenged to be honest and to pay. And my contractor was, he also said to me one day, are you a friend of Bill W.? Because I said, I'm chairing a meeting and I can't have you here then. And then he asked me if I was a friend of Bill W. So I knew, you know, he understood. And for my honesty, he gave me, he minused $100 off of it, which, you know, that was very generous of him. So, you know, it's just a constant work in action as our amends. And the other thing that I like about making amends and at the end of it, and this is how I plan to change my behavior. You know, if it's financial, I plan to be honest all the time. If it's, you know, personal and hurtful, you know, I plan to watch my mouth. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that funny story. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Mo. Thank you so much. We're right on time, all of us. Okay, it's time to take some more names. And before, I'll just remind everyone that came on late, perhaps. We're on page 79 in the big book, and we're in paragraph 3. That's what we're sharing on. Okay, who would I like to share now?
Christina J.
from
Connecticut.
Christina J.
All right, I heard Christina J. Good, Christina.
Carolyn? Yes.
Surrey C.
Who C?
Surrey. S-U-R-I.
Surrey. I got it. Okay, sir. It's good. We can take another one. Another member. After Surrey. Anybody else? Okay, let's go with Christina J. And when you share, tell us where you're from. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Janice. Good morning, everyone. Christina J. Currently now living in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been able to share on this line in months and months and months, and so grateful today because I'm starting to get Friday mornings off to work at home. So I loved this group when I was a part of it, and this paragraph, as Mo suggested, why am I willing to go to any lengths? Am I willing to go to any lengths? And in regards to specifically these amends, you know, to face the fears about image being ruined, social status, to face my fears about money, because I owe a lot of financial amends and I'm still contemplating on two of them, still praying and speaking to my sponsor about two of those amends that are huge. And it scares me because I think, how am I going to pay that back? You know, it makes me want to cry. But I want to pay them off. And I might have to pay $10 a month, you know. But you know what I have to believe is that if I'm willing, God will make a way. You know, God makes a way for this. And what does this do, this amends process? And as many of us know, it uncovers us. It uncovers us from our selfishness, self-centeredness, dishonesty, our fears. It reveals who we really are and who we really want to be. Because deep down inside every man is the fundamental idea of God, as the big book says. And God, I believe my God, is moral, kind, loving, compassionate, wants the best for everybody. And I can't walk around with this crap. You know, this causes me to be uncomfortable. And what has my go-to been for all of my life to face the uncomfortable? Food. Food is not an option today. What option do I have? To clean house and get close to my maker. I'm not ashamed of my God. It is something I believe in. I can't touch it, see it, feel it, but I can touch it, see it, and feel it in you. And I can touch it, see it, and feel it in nature. I mean, I don't know where these things come from. I'm constantly amazed at the tiny, beautiful weed flowers, or, you know, there's any number of things we all could talk about that God blessed us with. You know, every day I get to have a bountiful meals, abstinent meals. I'm spoiled. I'm damn spoiled. But, you know, I get to clean this up and I get to become a beautiful person in society that walks with a clean heart. And this work, 4 through 9, really keeps me in awareness. It opens up the awareness of what I've done. I clean it up and I realize how I've been, where my selfishness has been and all that. And then I walk in awareness of how it's trying to come up again, that disease voice trying to sneak in and slip me off into some negative feelings, some gossip, some this, some that, some fear, and not trusting in my God, you know. And I get to turn away from that and say, oh, I can't fight you. I'm not going to get in the ring with you because I can't win. I get to go over here where there's this powerful energy that protects me from myself. Anyway, thank you for letting me share, and I love you guys. Glad to be back on this meeting. Maybe I'll be back here and there again on Fridays. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yes, please come back. Okay, Christina J. That was Christina J. from North Carolina. Now we have Carolyn. You can say your the first initial to your last name and where you're from, Carolyn.
Hi, this is Carolyn. Yeah, hi, this is Carolyn S. from New York, recovered compulsive overeater. I was moved to share on this because I have a couple of instances. In my amends, financial amends, can be, go from very small to very big. Like I was in the grocery store a couple of years ago, and I put everything on the belt and paid for it and got to my car with the cart and realized it was an avocado that I'd stuck in the part where kids can sit and had forgotten to put on the belt. And I was in a real rush. I couldn't go back in. So what I did was the next time I was there, I explained the situation and said, please charge me for an avocado, which they did. And the amount of relief I got from that was totally out of proportion to the amount of money the avocado cost, right? Another example, when we moved into our house, we were looking for some lighting, and I went to the lighting store, picked some stuff out, and then brought it home. My husband didn't like it, so I went back to the lighting store to return them and get my money back, and they said, you know, we don't accept returns. You know, we can give you credit, but we can't give your money back. And she pointed to this really tiny sign on the counter that said that, which I had not noticed, and I threw a fit. I was like, you know, this is hundreds of dollars, and no one told me that it was unreturnable, because I know my husband is picky. And so I threw this fit. I left, and I told my husband, and he went back in and used the credit to get something else. But for years, every time I drove past that store, I felt guilty, because I knew my behavior was completely out of proportion to what had happened, and that, you know, I was in the wrong. So finally, when I was making my amends, I talked to my sponsor. I said, I have to do this. I sat in the car. I called her and said, I'm going in now. And I went in, and I don't even know who helped me way back when, the clerk that I yelled at. But I just said, I don't know how long you've been here, but I explained what I had done and apologized and said, I will never do this again. And not just to her, but in general. And she said, well, I don't know if I'm the one you talked to, but, you know, it's okay. I'm so glad that, you know, you said this, and we appreciate it. And again, I felt so much lighter. So I try to be rigorously honest about my money as well as my food. So if somebody gives me back too much change, or they don't charge me for something at a restaurant, I speak up, because my serenity is worth more than the money. I just want to feel clean, and I don't feel that way when I'm in conflict with people. So that's it. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you so much, Carol Ness from New York. Okay, we have Suri C.
Hi, Suri C. Compulsive overeater, no longer recovered, back in the food. And in this paragraph, from Connecticut.
Thank you.
He said he was perfectly willing to go to jail. She insisted, of course, she did not. What a blessing. Part of the difficulty I have with step four, where I'm at, and then as I'm sort of stuck there, is because I have somebody, my ex is in my life, and if I were to admit anything to him, there's no of course he did not. There is of course he will, of course, because the anger is such that it was never let go of, and it's still seething to this day, even though we've been divorced for 10 years. And there's just this rage. And I realize that as much as he's holding on to rage, I can be holding on to blame, because this is not about other people, this is about me. And I, on my side of the street, and I realize that I almost inherited this blame, because I sat with my mother yesterday and she said, oh, well, I inherited waking up late from my mother. And I'm like, holy crap. My mother's blaming her mother who passed for a bad habit of hers. Like, if I want to blame myself on my allergies, you know, like if I want to say I have a medical condition, but waking up late to inherit this food disorder, I inherited blame. But you know what? That's on me. And I am desperate. I'm praying out loud to this group to be able to let go and let God, and to be able to take responsibility, because I have amazing people in my life, and I love my mother, and she's amazing. And you know what? Everybody has good things and everybody has bad. And I have a family that compulsively overeats on a regular basis, but it doesn't make a difference. I can't play this blame game. I need to let go. And the more I let go, the more free I am. Not letting go of responsibility, but letting go of the outcome, letting go of the blame, and taking the responsibility. God help me to take the responsibility today. Take whatever teeny steps I can to get back into recovery as quickly as I can today. And I'm just praying out loud for that strength. With that, I pass.
And thank you so much, Suri, from Connecticut. Okay, we have time for a few more. Who would like to share next on page 79, paragraph 3? star 1 to unmute. That paragraph begins with, we thought he ought to be willing. And it ends with, and the whole situation has long since been adjusted.
I would like to share, Natalie.
Natalie, thank you, Natalie. Who else would like to share after Natalie?
Amy W.
I heard two nice voices. I heard an Amy. Was that correct, Amy?
Yes, ma'am.
Amy, in your first initial, Amy is?
W.
All right. And then I heard somebody else.
Kathleen O.
Okay, Kathleen O. Thank you. And anyone else? All right, let's go with those three for now. We have Natalie. Just give us your initial and the state you're from, Natalie.
Please. Natalie C. from New York, please.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you. We thought he ought to be willing to do that if necessary. I think it does help me emotionally to know, but I really have to at some point let God. What happens, I want to, my character defect was not finishing things, like saying I would go and just blowing it off at the last minute, or, you know, not because, and I think it was because, or just not being responsible, the rules didn't apply to me. So now I'm not sure whether I'm being a martyr or, but being aware of that, I think by making amends, I try to, in my personal life, complete tasks. Like if I said I was going to be there on Friday to close in a job, I would be there no matter how much I didn't want to. So that was a change in my responsibility. And I think I did. I gave up a lot of other things that would benefit me, more beneficial to me, a better schedule. But for some reason, emotionally, I felt I had to do that. So I did. And the people didn't always respond the way I thought. But in my estimation, I did what I was supposed to do. And whether I get points in heaven or not, I don't know. I don't even know if later that day, like as it applies to food, whether I thought I would calm my conscience, whether like I had less guilt, like later that night I wouldn't feel like eating. I don't know how it affected my eating. I thought a lot of times, I think if I do something wrong, then I can go home quickly and, you know, eat something and they won't know, you know, the people at the store, it'll soothe my conscience. But whether it did that or not, I don't know. But further on, and I'm not timing, so I'm just about to finish. Further on, myself has been healed. So I still think I have to work on putting the food down, but emotionally I feel satiated a little bit. So anyhow, thank you. I just felt like I didn't want to be alone with that. It's just complicated, and I think a lot of step 6 and 7 works in there. And the good virtues come out. You know, from doing it, and hopefully the food will be healed too. Thank you.
Okay, you're good. Okay, Natalie. That was Natalie from New York, Natalie C. Now we have Amy W. Your turn, Amy.
Good morning, my fellows. Amy W., recovered compulsive overeater from gloomy, sunny, hot, cold Riverside, California. Yeah, it's just crazy. Financial amends. I have to say that, you know, I never wanted to do any of these steps. I just wanted to start compulsively overeating. So, I mean, I didn't, but I knew that I could get relief from the suffering. And that's when the first step started to relieve, then the second step looked better, and then the third step looked even better. And then by the time I got to the fourth step and financial amends, oh goodness, you couldn't leave anything, not even your husband or family members. I would just, I would, you know, and I've heard alcoholics explain it in a similar way. And I was just like that. But when it came to financial amends, the most relief from compulsive eating, I ran out of excuses to run to the food and had a reason to run to the solution. I just didn't have a solution. I just knew that I felt terribly bad about myself all of the time. And the only thing that came close to appeasing that feeling was that food that would send me to oblivion and peace. And then when it wasn't the food, it was smoking or marijuana or men, or like I said, I just said nothing was safe around me. But today, of course, I don't live that way. But to go back and make those amends, yeah, they were hard. And yes, they affected other people. And at some point I was a single, you know, mom when some of these things went on, and no excuses, but I see the patterns of the choices. And putting, one time I put money, $100, because having to admit to something would have affected a family member.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So I put that $100 and I specifically said, this is for. And on a regular basis to this day, I donate, collect, get involved in, help anybody that will let me help them monetarily and privately so that they don't even know. That amends I have paid back over and over, and I still don't feel it could ever be enough. But thanks to this program, I no longer have a reason to eat and a reason to look towards God, and I pass.
And thank you so much, Amy W. from California. Okay, Kathleen O., we have about a minute. If you could take that, my timing is off, of course. If you
I
would, Kathleen.
I will keep it to under a minute. Thank you, Kathy. Kathleen O. in California. So this paragraph, I picture a lot of alcoholic men in the 30s that were a hot mess. And that's how I came in. I was a hot mess. And I had very difficult amends to make around sex and money. Thankfully, nothing that was going to put me in jail by making them. And all I can say is making those amends, I have pretty much what I consider a guarantee that I am never going to do that again. I don't think about taking money or doing things dishonest. And it's a wonderful feeling, and it's a great way to live, and I pass. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathleen. Where are you from? She's from California. Kathleen,
California. Sorry, I muted.
Okay. I know it. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. And thank everybody for sharing. At this time, we will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Don't go anywhere. We still have a newcomer greeter. So I'm going to ask Elaine B. if she would kindly read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Thank you so much, Janice PM.
Mm-hmm.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.